In 2003, Valerie Plame went from being an undercover CIA officer specializing in nuclear proliferation to a reluctant celebrity when the Bush administration outed her to the press. She's stayed mostly out of the public eye since then, but she's lending her expertise and her voice to the documentary Countdown to Zero. It's a film about nuclear weapons by many of the same people who made An Inconvenient Truth. And of course, the film makes clear that American leaders have been warning us about the threat of nuclear weapons for decades. Here's President Kennedy pushing to abolish them back in the 1960s.
Every man, woman, and child lives under a nuclear sword of Damocles, hanging by the slenderest of threads, capable of being cut at any moment by accident, or miscalculation, or by madness. The weapons of war must be abolished before they abolish us.
Valerie Plame Wilson joins us now by phone from Santa Fe. And Valerie, it seems to me that in your narration, in your participation in the film, your message is that without action on an international level, nuclear terrorism is a certainty.
Unfortunately, I think that is the harsh reality. When I worked at the CIA, this was ultimately my area of expertise, terrorism and nuclear weapons. And when you work at the field level looking at this, it's shocking. And we know for a fact that prior to 9/11, Osama bin Laden and his deputy al-Zawahiri were actively seeking nuclear technology. And there is no question that they have the will. And what has happened is that we have become, the world has fundamentally and profoundly changed from where we were during the Cold War. And because of the proliferation of nuclear technology, ironically enough, it's the countries that have the nuclear weapons that, in fact, are in a weaker position because of it. We've changed so much that I think after seeing this film, most rational people have to walk out and hopefully say, I need to know more about this. What can I do? But secondly, the only way to proceed is to go ultimately to zero.
Let me go back to this person walking out of the movie theater, because this movie, honestly, Valerie, it is the ultimate horror movie. Seriously, it is.
Some comment was, yeah, it's the scariest summer movie you'll see.
Jamie Lee Curtis does not survive this film, Valerie. I mean, this is...
We don't want to... The idea is not to scare people into inaction, but to make them wake up, because for a variety of reasons, this has been a subject that has not been, frankly, fashionable since the close of the Cold War. We all seem to sigh a collective... sigh of relief, and tucked it under the carpet. And in fact, it's continued. The film is produced, put together by the same people who did An Inconvenient Truth. And just as global warming, no one talked about that in any substantive way, really, prior to Inconvenient Truth. We hope that Countdown to Zero has that same impact, raising the consciousness of this issue and gets people involved.
Okay, but let me talk to you just for a second, pick that apart, because I could take my son to The Inconvenient Truth, and then I can bring him home and show him how him putting his Coke bottle into the recycling helps solve those issues from the movie. I can show him how deciding to walk to the corner store instead of drive solves those problems. What am I supposed to tell my son to do about nuclear terrorism and nuclear accidents?
I agree. It is a topic that can be so overwhelming and so intimidating. And an individual goes, well, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
Well, a couple things. There is an entire social action campaign that has been created around this film so that it does reach out. Your listeners can go to either globalzero.org or takepart.com. The good news is that this is not inevitable. We can step off this path. While it's true that ultimately it will be the highest-ranking political leaders who sign these treaties to make these terrible weapons go into oblivion, the fact is that the push must come from those who are governed, the people of the world.
Well, it's interesting that you say that it has to be unilateral and international, but there was one very important international leader missing from the film, and that would be Kim Jong-il.
I don't think he gets out much.
But you see what I'm saying?
Let me make clear, I did not say it will not be a unilateral effort.
Right.
And, it must be multilateral. But by no means are we suggesting that this will be easy, or that simply by dint of our leadership, countries, rogue countries like North Korea or Iran will fall in behind us. No. What this will take, it's going to take a long time, frankly, and a lot of work, but you use all the tools available to you, be there intelligence, diplomatic, sanctions. You build a really strong international consensus. And ultimately, when you have, say, a country like North Korea completely shunned by the international community because they've decided for whatever reason to pursue their nuclear program, they can't continue. They simply cannot continue. The good news is, and there's a little more good news,
that's great.
There is a history of reduction. We've gone at the height of the Cold War in 1986 from about 70,000 nuclear weapons. We're at 23,000 today.
Well, do you see this happening sometime in your and my lifetime? Is the news that good?
We do have what I truly believe is a window of opportunity right now. We've had a serendipitous lineup of events. You have a president in the White House who has stated quite unequivocally that this is his objective, to get ultimately to zero. We have signed the START Treaty. It will need to be ratified. There is a feeling that we're getting traction. When you look at the billions of dollars that are spent on maintaining these nuclear infrastructures around the world, and particularly in countries like Pakistan or India that can ill afford to maintain these hideously expensive programs at the expense of basic health care, literacy, maternal health, things that, you know, truly affect quality of life. I just think that we can begin to get traction. I think, yes, it can happen in our lifetime. I wouldn't be doing this if I thought it was just, you know, pie in the sky, let's hold hands and hope.
Decidedly non-hippie-ish, but anti-nuclear, Valerie Plame Wilson, former CIA officer. She was outed by the Bush administration in 2003. She now appears and does the narration in many places for the upcoming documentary, Countdown to Zero. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll leave you with this, a last clip from the movie Countdown to Zero. It'll be in the theaters across the country on July 30th. This is Robert Oppenheimer, father of the atomic bomb.
I have been asked whether in the years to come it will be possible to kill 40 million American people in the 20 largest American towns by the use of atomic bombs in a single night. I am afraid that the answer to that question is yes.
Head over to our site, thetakeaway.org. We've got more details about the documentary, and you can watch the trailer as well.
And how Oppenheimer lost his security clearance by saying things
exactly
like that after being the father of the bomb. While you're there, you can look back to our conversation earlier this hour on race. We talked earlier, is there a physiological difference between the races, and is it racist to investigate the issue in the first place? One of our listeners, Tyra Wall in Bluffton, South Carolina, wrote on Facebook, having worked for the athletic department at a Division I college, I have to say, when you look at the racial diversity of most football and basketball teams, you can't help but naturally come to that same conclusion. Any sport involving fast twitch sprinting, short stopping, shifting, and quick changing of direction, well, black athletes are just more gifted in that sense, as generally their center of body mass is lower in the hips, giving them more agility on the field or on the court. On Facebook, Rusty in Canton, Michigan writes, are studies that discuss race inherently racist? Yes. Is that wrong? No. Racist is an entirely overused and misunderstood word and concept.
Why do black people love menthol so much?
I don't know. That's great.
That is correct.
No one knows.
Dave Chappelle there. Continue the conversation on thetakeaway.org.
I'm Celeste Headley.
I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.